First, I want to give you a shekoyach to all the chaverim, especially this little guy right here, this chaver right here, and all the rest of the chaverim, all the tirchus, all of the years, only to for the purpose of somehow being ma'abed kvayt shemayim and helping us all be better Jews. Yaakov Hagler was here. I had this scary thought that maybe no one called you, Yaakov. But I knew that you would come anyway. Baruch Hashem. For many, many years you should continue in Yerushalayim. The tachlis of speaking at this time is not to give a shiur, not to say chidushim. Like Ramchal says at the beginning, to be able to remember and to be focused on things that we already know. His ayurus that the Bari Olam knows, we all need. I more than anybody here. And it's obvious that I'm completely unworthy, more unworthy than ever before, to tell wonderful Yidden, any divrei musar, that it's the Ratzon Hashem that together we should try to be Mesayer, and that together we should come into the Yemei HaRatzon, into the Yom Nerayim. L'cha Hashem Hatzdaka V'lonu Boishas Hapan. Every year when we open up the Slichas, those are the same words that we first see. They don't go away. And every year I speak about those words. L'cha Hashem Hatzdaka V'lonu Boishas Hapan Hashem Hatzbach. You're right. You're right. Everything that you've done, you're right. The Lono Baishas Hapanim, and we're embarrassed, we're ashamed. This hergish of Baishas Hapanim, of Busha, of feeling ashamed. This hergish is the key to all of our avodah during this time, to be able to feel be'emes, that feeling that we're going to be using the words of the Navi, to be able to say boishti v'nechlamti Elokai. I'm so embarrassed, I'm so ashamed. Elokai, my God. Laharim panai elecha. I don't even know how I can lift up my face to look at you. Boishti v'nechlamti. Without that hergish, without that feeling, the emes, without feeling that hargosha of boishti v'nechlamti elokai laharim ponai elecha, that I'm ashamed, that I'm embarrassed to face you, to lift up my eyes, to look at you. Without that feeling, it's impossible to come into these days. It's impossible. That's the Pesach. That's the opening. That's the essence of Slichus. It's the essence of truth. So what does that mean? We all know what it means. How could we be ma'ir a little bit of that within ourselves in a healthy real and honest way, in a way that will bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to send us away from Him, Chalila, but to bring us closer and closer to Him. There's a well-known story from the Rebbe of Moshe Leibsas of Eschusia in Elena. Many of you have heard this. You know that the Rebbe of Moshe Leib, before he became known to the world, he was as a goyim, as a tzaddik. He was very hidden, like many of those tzaddikim. And he lived in terrible dachkus. He lived in absolute poverty. And he sat yom v'layla ala Torah v'ala havayda. His Rebbetzin was with him the whole time. And he survived a piece of bread here, a little milk there, something, a few pennies. The Rebbetzin sowed something. Near where the Rebbe Moshe Leib lived, there was a very wonderful gvir, a person of means. And finally, he said one day to Rabbi Moshe Leib, look, there's no tachlis to live this way. There's no tachlis that you should have a piece of, that you should get a piece of bread, one, a loaf of bread, and then 2 days later, someone gives you this, and then I help you with that, and you try to put together a life for yourself and for your family. I have an idea. And this wonderful Gvir said, I want to give you a large schum, a large amount of money. I'm going to give you this money. Now is the time that there's a big Yerid, there's a big fair taking place in the city, not far from there. And I want you to go with the other Sachrim, the other merchants, and take this money and buy schayra, buy merchandise, and sell merchandise, so that you'll be able to begin a business. That you shouldn't have to continue living this way, from hand to mouth. You should be able to have a parnasa, a bekavadika parnasa. And the Yom HaShuk, the day of the fair, arrived, and everybody said goodbye, the wife, the family, the children, they were so excited. Finally, there was some hope. And there were Rebbe Shleib winners with his pockets filled with the money from the Gvir. I think we could all predict the outcome. So he went with the rest of the Chever there on the wagon. And he went to the Lord of the Sochrim, and when they got to the city, to the big city, all of the Sochrim knew where, what to do and where, and they jumped off the wagon and they were busy. They ran to the places that they knew of, the Shuk, and they went everywhere, and they left their Moshe Leibsasser. He didn't know anything. He drained around a little bit over there near the wagon, and he found the Besmedrash. So, maybe I'll find some Yidden over here that are familiar with the business world and they could help me. And the Moshe Leibsasser went in this medrash, it was empty. Everybody was at the Yerid. Everybody was in the Shuk. So he didn't know what to do. Well, the delay is a prayer without a choice. He took out a Gemara and he sat to learn. And the Moshe Leib lost himself. He found himself in that Gemara. Hour after hour after hour he was in the Sugya. A guy in our mind, he had a tremendous mind. And he sat there the whole day. And he forgot about the whole thing. He forgot about the shuk, he forgot about the money, he forgot about the gevir, he forgot about the schar, he forgot about his poverty, he forgot everything, he didn't eat a thing. He was sitting there learning all day. Came time, Minchem Arif. The fellows are already coming back. The soichim are coming back. They're coming back, they bought schar. They bought merchandise to take back to the villages and to make a panasa, to make money. And if the Maariv of Moshe Lefsasova says, where's everybody going? They said, we're going back to Sasev, or the town, wherever he was living at that time. So Moshe Leib says, but we came here for business reasons. We came here to buy schar. So they said, We already spent the whole day, we were 12 hours, whatever it was, 10, 12 hours. We were buying schar, we all bought, look, our wagons are filled with schar. There's nobody left, everybody's gone. It's closed, they're minded. Again, the late Vega. They went back. Ramesha joins them. Ramesha Leib joins them on the trip back to town. And as it is, and I remember this also, when the father would be away on a business trip, so the first thing when he comes home, the children surrounded Ramesha Leib, and they said, Tata, they asked him, Tati, what did you bring us from the big city? It's a gift, something, a toy. What did you bring us from the big city? And when he heard that question, Ramesha Leib Sasseva fainted. He passed out. His wife started to cry, what happened? And she went over to the house of the Gevir, who was in charge of this project. She ran over there and she started to cry to the Gevirta, to the wife, and she got her husband, and they came running over to the house to see where Moshe Leib Sasseva was flat on his back. And the Gevir goes over and he starts to scream and he starts to shake with Moshe Leib. He says, what happened, Rabbi? Why did you faint? What's wrong with you? And they took something there, some smelling salts, to bring him back. And the Gevir said, if you lost the money, it's okay. Rabbi, don't worry, it's okay. Or if you got to the city and you saw people needed money for tzedakah and you gave it all away, he knew his nature, it's okay, Rabbi, I'll give you more money. You don't have to be worried, you don't have to feel bad. So Moshe Leib Sasseva was crying. And he said, look what happens when a person goes away from his home for one day. He leaves his home for one day. When he returns, everybody's asking him, Tati, was hast du gebracht? Tati, was hast du gebracht? Father, what did you bring for us back from your trip? So Moshe Leib Sasseva said, that's for one day when I left my home. So what's going to be with Moshe Leib? What's going to be with a person who leaves his home, who leaves his father, who leaves Shemayim, and then the neshama comes into this world for 120 years? And then when we leave this world and the neshama returns to its home, and the first question that's going to be asked is, Moshe Leib, was hast du gebracht? Moshe Leib, what did you bring? What did you bring from that journey, from your business trip in the world below? What will I be able to answer? I can't even answer my children who are waiting for me to bring them a gift. What will I be able to answer? What will I say to Avi Shebashamayim, to the one who sent me into this world? L'cha Hashem HaTzedakah, listen carefully. L'cha Hashem HaTzedakah, it's the nature of the world that any person who has any sense of decency, of self-respect, it's the nature of the world that if you are unkind to somebody who has been good to you, if you sin against anybody who has been good to you, it's the nature of the world for a person to be embarrassed, not to be able to face that person. Allah has come of the come, how much more so? When the person who you sinned against adores you and loves you and showered you with kindness and with affection and was day and night always thinking about you and what's good for you and how to help you. And instead of your being appreciative, you were kaf with toif. You abused all the toif, all the good that was given to you. Would you be able to face a person, a decent person, couldn't face anybody in that matzav? I remember my father once told me where we lived. My father had a very dear friend who's no longer alive. They grew up together back in Europe. They went through a lot of things together. And this friend of my father's was very good natured. And there was another fellow from the shul that had borrowed some money from my father's friend. He needed some money. And my father's friend was a person of means, and he gave him a very, very large loan. And there was a time that was made for it to be paid back. And there was a handshake. And my father told me that what happened was that the time was set for whatever it was to pay back in 2 months or 6 months, and the time passed and it passed. And that person who had borrowed the money kept on going to shul. They davened together in shul with my father, my father's friend. They davened together in the same shul. And they had been friendly. He never mentioned the word, "I'm sorry, I owe you the money. I don't have it now, but I'll pay you. I'll get the money." He never said a word. He just went like this for years. He didn't say a word. And my father's friend was moichel on the money. He understood that this money is not going to be seen again. And he decided he wasn't going to say anything. He was going to leave it be. But my father told me that over time, that other person, I don't know who it was, but that other person had become mamish nasty and angry, as it often happens when a person feels embarrassed and guilty, to the one who had lent him the money and never asked him for the money in return. And I remember my father telling me this, that there is such a thing in a person, that such a thing can happen to a person.
How can we even open a mouth to speak to you, the one who dwells above? Ba'ilu panim nishpach sichem. How can we even begin to pour out tefillas, to begin to daven to you? Ba'ilu zepan nishpach sichem. How can we even begin to daven to you? You have given us so much money in order to invest in good schayra, in merchandise, in order to invest in the merchandise that's called Torah and Mitzvahs, to learn more, and to daven, and to be kind, to do mitzvahs and ma'asim and tovim in this world. And what have we done with the money that you've given us? What's the money that Hashem Yisbarach has given us? You know, the Tefillah Zakeh, usually it's a very big rush, Erev Yom Kippur, when we come to Shul for Kol Nidrei, whoever has a time, whoever has a few minutes, tries to say Tefillah Zakeh from the Chayodim. A number of times over the years I've read these words together with you, but each of you knows the words. If you don't think about them, you just rush into Yom Kippur, but let's think about the words for a minute. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shalom, you gave us free choice. We just read in the Torah today. And you told us with Achata B'chayim we should choose life. Va'ata Elokai lo yishamati l'kalecha. And now, Rabbeinu Shalom, I haven't listened to your voice. V'halachti ba'atzas ha'yetzaharu b'dach elibi. And I followed my yetzaharu and I went after my heart. U'ma'asti b'toiv. And I turned away from Toiv, from good, of Achati B'ra, and I've chosen bad. Not only have I not sanctified the limbs of my body, listen to the gifts, listen to the money that the Bari Olam, listen what he gave us to buy Schoira. We're Jews. You created within me a Jewish mind and a Jewish heart. Uvehem chush ha-machshava, the ability to think. Lach shoyv machshavas toivas, why did you give me this money? Why did you give me this to invest in what? To invest in what? Lach shoyv machshavas toivas, to think good thoughts. To think good things about other Jews. V'leiv lohav and divrei kodshecha. And you gave me a heart, a Jewish heart. Why? To understand the words of Torah. Ule espalel, to daven. Ule varach, kol habrochis. And to be able to say all the brochis, but machshava tahor with pure thoughts. That's why you gave me a Jewish brain. You didn't give me a Jewish brain to make Ponzi schemes. You didn't give me a Jewish brain to outsmart Goyim. You gave me a Jewish brain. Nesatad barosib imayach v'leiv. L'spalel, a heart, a Jewish heart. For what a Jewish heart? L'spalel l'varach kalabrochus machshavat ha'ayra. And what did I do with the money that you sent me with into this world? Vani timeis yaisah. The one who was so good to me and gave me a Jewish mind and a Jewish heart. And he sent me into this world and he said, go get some good schoira. Good thoughts about people. Think about the sugya in the Gemara. Davim hartzig with a heart. That's why he gave you and I Jewish hearts and Jewish minds. And what did I do with that? Not only am I not thankful to you, but like the person who's a Baal Chayv, ani timeis yoisam b'irurim roim, I abused what you gave me to think terrible thoughts. Machshavas zaros goes on to describe. Each person has a machshava to look. Barasa b'einayim. You created eyes within me. It's a gift. Barasa b'einayim. Not stam eyes. Yiddish eyes, Jewish eyes. Jewish eyes that were created for the purpose of se'u miroim einechem. Uru'u mi bore eile. Jewish eyes that were meant to gaze upon Yerushalayim. To look at tzaddikim. To look at a black gemara at a page in Chumash Rashi. Barasa b'einayim v'hem chush harus liris b'mashakosu b'torah. Eyes you gave me. Why did you give me eyes? You gave me eyes to look at to see Torah, to look in the Torah, to study, to learn. L'kalish oisam b'riyas kaldovish b'kedusha. And you gave me eyes that I should sanctify them. I should be mekadosh them. To see holy things, to look at holy things. Vizharta b'sarasacha. And before you sent me down to the world, you gave me eyes. There are children, lo aleinu, in the hospital who are born without the ability to see. There are those who came to the world, and once they came to the world, they lost their eyesight. Hashem Yirachem. You gave me eyes. And my eyes are good. And you wanted me to use those eyes in the holy way, with his heart in the Sarasach, and you warned me in the Torah, be careful, my Shalem, that when you go into the city, into the world, be careful. Be careful what you do with your eyes. I created eyes to look at divrei Torah, to see good things, not to sit 4, 5, 6, 7 hours looking at the machine and filling your brains and your hearts with the avyavus atum of this world. Oy li ki halachti achrei einai, oy vei halachti achrei einai v'timesi son. What did I do with my eyes this past year? What did my Jewish eyes see this past year? V'timesi son, l'stakil b'chol dvar tumah. The Chayodim could never have imagined. What was he talking about? In Danzig, he came from a larger town. He was in Vilna for many years. When the family originally came from Danzig, he lived in Vilna. What could he have seen? Could he be imagined? You created, you gave me ears, it's a gift. You gave me money, you gave me something that I should go into the world to use for good schayra, Moshe Leib, was host du gebrengst. After 120, you gave me ears, l'shmoye divrei kedusha, to hear divrei kedusha. There are people who I love who are losing their hearing. And when I talk to them on the phone, they don't hear me anymore. When I talk to them in person, we have to shout. And we're able, by Hashem, we have our ability to hear. We have our hearing. L'shmoye divrei kedusha. Why did you give me the ability to hear? To listen to divrei kedusha. V'divrei Torah. Oy li ki timesi ha'isan. B'shmaya divrei nevala, gevalt, I was metame my ears, listening to things that are disgusting. B'divrei nevala. V'loshon hara, that I listen to loshon hara. V'chol dvar masurim, and other things that are forbidden. Oy l'oznayim shekach shoymais. Oy to the ears that have heard the things that our ears have heard. Barosa bipah. Rabbi Shalom, you created within me, you gave me a pah mouth. Barosa bipah, veloshin vishinayim, a mouth, and the tongue, and teeth, the chayf, the garin, and the throat, the sata baham koyach ladaber. You gave me the wondrous gift of speech. Amen, a human being. Aruach Mamadullah, the ability to speak. You gave me the ability to speak. Bamchamisha Mitzoyis, Aisis, Akadoyishim, Shalah Aleph Beis, the ability to pronounce the holy letters of the Aleph Beis. Ashabahen Barosa Shemayim Varatim Loya, the letters of the Aleph Beis with which you created heaven and earth. Uvahema Rabta Seros HaKadoyishim, with these letters you wove together your holy Torah. And with this koyach of speech, you distinguished man from an animal. And I wasn't even like an animal. I made my mouth filthy with inappropriate words, with nevelpeh, with machloikes, finding fault in other people, kindness against other people. The biggest time for the biggest yetzara, it's a week before Rosh Hashanah. Where did they put me to sit in the shul? To make machloikes in over this and over that? with family, with friends. Timasi, I defiled my mouth. How can I open my mouth to speak to you, Creator of the universe? Ushkarim with lies and lashon hara. Malbim pnei chaveroi, embarrassing people. Makalas chaveroi, saying bad things about other people, and so on. Hands you gave me. Lasik behem the mitzvahs, to be busy with mitzvahs, ani timeses. What did I use my hands for? To be able to walk. You gave me legs and feet that I should be able to go to do mitzvahs, to run to do mitzvahs. In the end, Mishashti es kol evarai. I have checked, I have inspected all of the limbs of my body. Matzasi oyisam bali mumen, I have found them terribly blemished. Mikaf ragli vad roish, from the top of my head to the bottom of my foot. Ein di misayim. Selucha Hashem atzdaka. I know it hurts to talk about these things. But it's impossible, as I said at the beginning, it's impossible to come into Slichus, to come to Rosh Hashanah, to come to the Bari Olam, without hearing that question that caused Rav Moshe Leib Sasseva to faint. The Baruch Shalom saying, Kindlech Taira, Kindlech, I sent you into the world, and I gave you the most precious, precious gifts. Your eyes, your ears, your mouths, your feet, your hands. I gave you the most precious gifts. And to hear the question that Moshe Leib Sasseva heard ringing in his ears when his children asked him, Tati, what did you bring us from your trip? To hear that question, to anticipate that question, to feel that question being asked of us right now, at the end of Tavshin Samech Tes, the question of was hostel gebrengt. Aleph, Beis. So why is it, Tag? Why is it that we're not embarrassed? What's the problem with this? Why is it that that what I'm talking about right now itself is making us all uncomfortable, I'm sure? It's not the subject that most of you, I'm sure, came to hear. I'm supposed to talk about hischaskas and so on. This is the biggest hischaskas. But why don't we feel busha? Sof kol sof, we all believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that each and every one of us believes that we were sent into this world to bring back good schayr. Everybody believes that. I saw a word from the Kotzker. The Kotzker, as you know, is very short and brutal. Here it is. The Kotz is going on a pasuk in Navi. The Navi Yeshaya in Perek Lamed, the Navi Yeshaya says very beautiful and comforting words. And only the Kotz could turn this around to make us crazy, but to make us better. Whereas the B'dishva always took the hardest psukim and made them so delicious, the Kotzke took the most delicious pasuk, and he stabbed us with it. Says in pasuk, Altiri kiloise vayshi. Altiri kiloise vayshi. Valti kolmi kiloise achpiri. Fear not, the Navi says, don't be afraid. For you shall not be ashamed. Listen to the words. Al tiri, kiloi sevaishi. Don't be afraid. You will not be ashamed. Va'alti kalmi, Don't be embarrassed. Ki lo sachpiri. Because you shall not be put to shame. Lo sachpiri. You shall not be put to shame. It's a nice pasuk. You read that pasuk, it makes you feel good. Mr. Baruch Shalom says, don't worry, don't be ashamed, nothing, don't be afraid. So let's hear what Rav Mendel Kotzke did with this pasuk. And let's take it to heart, only in a good way. It all has a happy ending. This is what the Kotzke did with the pasuk. The Kotzke said that the Novi Yishai was coming and was asking the big question. Why aren't Jews afraid of the Rabbi Shalom? Why are they doing all kinds of affairs? Where's the Yerushalayim? Why aren't they afraid? Altiri. Altiri means what he said's a question. The Novi's asking, Altiri, why aren't Jews? How come they're not afraid? Tavos hostu nishkan moir. The Kotzke is. That's what the Novi was saying. Tavos hostu nishkan moir. Why aren't you afraid? And the Navi says, you know why you're not afraid? You have no Yerushalayim. You know why you continue doing year after year the same things? Why don't you have Yerushalayim? Ki lo yisevayishi. Ki lo yisevayishi v'al d'shem tuchnisht. Because you're not embarrassed. You're not embarrassed over the things you've done. So how could you be afraid of Hashem? You're not embarrassed. Ki lo yisevayishi. Va'alti kalmi. So the Kotzke says, Lutake, why is that Va'alti kalmi? Why are you not embarrassed? Va'alti kalmi. Why are you not embarrassed? Ki lo sachpiri. Now everybody here knows, ki lo sachpiri means to be embarrassed, to be ashamed, you're not ashamed. Ki lo sachpiri, but also, the Kotzke said, the word lachpor. What does it mean in Lashon Kodesh, lachpor? No? To dig. Are the groups nished and teeth and hearts. He said, you know why you're not ashamed, you know why you're not embarrassed. Are the groups nished and teeth and hearts not digging deep into your heart? Kiloy sachpiri. You're not digging deep into your hearts. The Kotzke said, the reason that a Jew is not ashamed of what we just heard from the Tfilah Zaki from Chai Odin. L'cho Hashem HaStokev, l'onu b'yishas haponim, v'lonu b'yishas haponim. So why don't we feel b'yishas haponim? I mean, Mela, if we're not embarrassed, then we repeat all the things that we've done, and we continue going on, not paying back the debt, not paying back the loan year after year. And not only that, not only do we don't pay back, but we also have kindness against the b'yishas haponim, my life should be better. And we get angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Baal Chayiv in my father's little shtetl over there. So why is it that we're not embarrassed? Ki lo sachpiri means all of life, the Kotzke said, we're living lives of shidchis, of shallowness, of superficiality. I mean, may live a person lives on the surface, and he lives in a way of lo sachpiri, Blilach por, lo chofrim. We're not choifer, we're not lo sachpir, we're not digging deep, we're not feeling, we're not thinking. We lost that ability to think in a deeper way. Not about science, not about myth, not even about a blood gemara, but about ourselves. About who we are, about what's happened to us. There's no other way to explain the busha, the bizyoinus that we've had this past month. It's not really new, it's just that they're catching us. Megezalakum, prosta gezalakum. Jews were bids and payers in the front pages of newspapers. Ganovim, gazlovim, mala haveris. How could it be? People who go to the mikveh in the morning. People who daven mitzvah. People who learn the black gemara. How is it possible that there was a Jew a few years ago, he was a crazy person, that he was himself giving daf yomi, and he's feeding thousands and thousands of Jews? Tarfus! Tarfus! How could it be? What's he thinking? What was he thinking? The Torah says, Kiloy Sachpiri. No, Mimela, why is he ashamed? He can get up in front of the oilman and say, Daf Yomi. The same way that the guy can walk around stroking his beard, and he can go come out from the mikveh and dry out his payas, and then he goes and he can steal, and then he can do any affair in the world. As long as he has only Chol Yisrael and Pas Yisrael, he's fine. Ki lo yisach piri. The Koska said, how could it be such a thing? If there's no Yerushalayim, the Jews are behaving in a way without Yerushalayim. Al tiri, why? Favos hoslus kamayra. The terms of ki lo yisei vayishu, you were not embarrassed. Uvalti, tell me, why aren't we embarrassed? What's wrong with us? Kiloisach piri. And if a Jew lives a life of loisach piri without digging deep into himself, and he just goes day after day, if he's not living in the way of nach bisodracheinu, to search to what we've done, to think about our lives, to investigate, then how could he possibly come to Vinashuva? How could he possibly return to Hashem? What's it? It's a game? We're going to sing slichas a little bit. We'll say some slichas. We'll make it through a couple of weeks of difficult, long davening. And we'll get past the Shoshone and Kippur. You'll daven yourself that the Baal Tefillah shouldn't yimutsi you too much, and it should be okay, and we should make it through the davening, and everything should go well, and the Baal Shem should somehow let us go, and there will be Nach Yom Kippur, we'll get to our Danish and coffee. Zman Sim Chasein and Sukkot, and everything is finished. We'll do a couple of our coffees. Gemanu, then it's time ready for the Motzei Shabbos, and the Malkis, and the dinners, and so on. It's a game? The first slichas we had is at Tzibur together. I mentioned then what it says in Sfar, that the tachlis is to get to Ne'ilah, and Ne'ilah is the Kodesh HaKadosh. In time and in place in Yerushalayim, it's Kodesh HaKadosh, that the holiest of holy of time is Ne'ilah. Where are we now? When we're standing right about to say slichas in 10, 15 minutes, where are we now? I'm dois for you, Agleinu b'sharayich Yerushalayim. We're at the gate of Yerushalayim. We're just about to enter into Yerushalayim. This time of the year is Yerushalayim. And we push forward to get to Ne'ilah. And we're now standing b'sharayich Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, in the gate of Yerushalayim, we're able to be honest and we're able to pick up the shovels that we put down at some point in life. And we're able to dig deep into ourselves. And we're able to go back to the beginning in the Adam HaRishon. You remember Adam HaRishon? That after Adam HaRishon did a bad thing on his level, when Adam HaRishon ate from Eitz HaDaas, so the Baruch Shalom is Vayoyim Alayyak, and the Baruch Shalom asked him, where are you? And everybody knows that Tanya is old Shmuz, what happened to him when he was in jail. But the question of Ayeka, what's the question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Adam HaRishon, where are you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying this, Rebbe Adam, what's the difference? It's called Rebbe Adam, Rebbe Shalei B'Sasefer, me and you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Adam, I gave you an unbelievable neshama. I gave you an unbelievable world, like it says in the Medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Adam HaRishon, he flew him over Gan Eden, he showed him Zashena Velt, a beautiful world, I put you in a beautiful world. And I've given you wonderful, wonderful gifts with which you can buy a lot of good schayra in the world. The world is good and you can get a lot of good schayra. You could buy good things in Torah and Mitzvahs. And what did you do, Adam? Hechvatis, I love you, like it says in the Medrash, you destroyed my world. And you brought death to yourself, and you brought death to the world. And how did Adam HaRishon, what happened to Adam HaRishon? Oh, Adam HaRishon was so embarrassed. Boisti v'nechlamti, Elokai, laharim ponai elecha. What happened to Adam HaRishon? Va'ira, ki eirayim anoichi ve'ichovei. I felt so naked, I was so embarrassed. I went to hide, I couldn't look at you, I couldn't face you. But he felt that feeling of embarrassment and shame. He couldn't find it within himself to look to Hashem. He tried to run away. Running away meaning from the feeling of pain and guilt and embarrassment and shame. And as the Tanya said, each and every one of us has to hear that question. We're standing in the gate of Yerushalayim, and the Bar Yoelim is calling out each and every one of us, Hayeka, where are you? Was hast du gebracht? What did you bring me this past year? And this question that should be ringing in our ears as we stand here with a shovel ready to dig into our hearts. This question we begin with the Shabbos. As I said in the past, we begin with the Kapitel Moitzoi Menuche Kidamnuche Tchila. Why Moitzoi Shabbos? The Moitzoi Menuche, as the day of rest leaves us, we come quickly to rush to you to say Slichas. And what does it mean by Moitzoi Menuche? It means that we're saying Rebbein Shalom, I don't want you to think that I feel a sense of peace with the way that I am. I'm not at peace with myself. The Moitzoi Menuche. At this point, it could be the whole year, and especially the summer, I was making believe like this and like that. But Moitzoi Menuche means that I don't feel that Menuche anymore. The Menuche has left me. I'm not able to be happy living a life of Loisach Piri without digging deep into myself. You know why? It's not just that I'm far from you. I'm not even able to feel the love that I used to feel for my wife. The love that I felt for my children, the love that I felt for my husband, the love that I felt for life. You know why? My whole life I don't dig. I don't think, I don't feel anymore. And this doesn't make me feel good. The menuche has left me. I'm restless, I'm unhappy. And therefore I'm coming to you. Es panecha Hashem avakeish, al taste panecha mimeni. I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed. And like other Mauritian, I feel something of that desire to run away, to get up and to hide someplace. And everybody knows that's exactly how Slichas began. You remember how Slichas began. The Seder of Slichas began after what? After the Chayta Egel, the sin of the calf. And what happened? So you remember the Hamais over there, and the Baruch Shalom says to my Shaven, he named Mokam Iti, and it's Havdel Hatzur. I'm going to pass by over there. Barvor Kvoidi, I'm going to pass by, like Rashi says, V'samtich Benikvis Hatzur. And Moshe Rabbeinu went into the cleft of a rock, into a hole in a cave. Moshe Rabbeinu, who had within himself the entire Jewish people, he felt the embarrassment and shame. He felt like other Mauritian, Ki Erim Anoichi, I'm naked. Ve'ichovin, I want to hide. Moshe Rabbeinu felt that bush of Lecha Hashem Atztaka, V'lona Boishas, upon the Boishas came to give us the Torah. He created the world in the Ovis, and the Mos, and he came to give us the Torah. And like Chazal said, like a Kala, by the Chupich Mezana, and we did a terrible thing, and we did the Chayte Egel. And Moshe Rabbeinu felt within himself all the embarrassment, all the shame of all of Klal Yisrael hearing that, Ayeka, what happened to you? Where are you? And what happened then? Moshe Rabbeinu is hiding. Moshe Rabbeinu is shaking. Hera l'Moshe Chazal say the tefillah. Then the Rebbein Shalom showed Moshe Rabbeinu a new way to daven, a say the tefillah. That whenever in the future Jews sin, this is the Seder that they should use. The Seder of what? The Seder that if you want to come to me, if you want to come back to me, the Seder begins with what? L'cha Hashem Astoke, V'lonu Boishas upon him. To have that feeling of Boishas upon him, to want to hide, to want to put your face into a hole by a cave and to run away because you feel so embarrassed. By digging into oneself, And Hashem is Megala, it says, Chazal says, if it wouldn't say it, we wouldn't be allowed to even say such a thing. That Hashem Kivyoch put on a talis. And he taught us the 13 midas harachem. Meaning that when once Moshe Rabbeinu felt that shame, the shame of the whole Jewish people, he was so embarrassed. When Moshe Rabbeinu felt that shame, then Kivyochel had opened up a new way in Hashem Yisbarach's heart, whatever that means. And it's called Slichas, the 13 midas harachem. Each and every one of us knows, when you come, I know from the house that I come from, that as long as I was obstinate, as long as I didn't dig into myself, as long as I didn't admit, as long as I was still hiding and running away, my father was upset with me. But the moment I came back with humility, and I said, Tati, Father, I never said Tati, I said Daddy. I said, Daddy, I'm sorry. L'cha Hashem, I stalk a lot of voices upon him. You're right, and I'm wrong. And I'm ashamed, and I'm embarrassed. Daddy, you're so good to me. And I'm such an ingrate. And when the father hears those words, the heart explodes. You remember the Maisa? There's only 2 minutes left. You remember the Maisa from the Choyze? There's a Maisa by Choyze I said many times over the years. The Choyze, Schusi Yelenu, had a chosid, a very chosid, the Talmud Chochim, was a wealthy person, a big respected person in Lublin. And this chosid did some terrible aveira with somebody. And nobody knew about this. And he was carrying this in his heart for a while. And finally he decided, you know, for a while he didn't go to Davin anymore in the Besmedrish. He stayed away from the Chayza. You know, but the Chayza was dangerous to be near him. That's where they used to wear the hats over their foreheads over there. Because the Chayza would look at somebody he would know his whole life. So he stayed away from the Chayza. But now he marched, he came into the Chayza. And the Chayza looked up and he closed his eyes and this Yid started to cry. And he told over to the Rebbe what he did, this terrible Maisa with somebody. And he started to cry, Rebbe, what's going to be with me? Can I come back? Can I change? What can I do? And the Chayza told him there's only one thing that you could do. And if you don't do this, you're forever banished from God's presence. There's no hope for you. There's only one thing you could do. You have to go right out of my office now, which was connected to the Besmedrash. You have to walk over to the Bima. The Besmedrash was filled with hundreds of people. I don't know when it was. Packed. You have to go over to the Bima. Give a clap on the Bima. Everybody will be quiet. There's a Choshev Yid. Give a clap. And I want you to tell the entire Olam here in Lublin the aveira that you did. Tell everybody what you did. Don't tell me. Tell the Olam what you did. I know what you did anyway. Tell them what you did. So the Yid said, I have to go tell everybody, or else there's nothing to talk about. Finished. You heard of the longest yard? This was the longest trip to the Bima. Nebuch, this Yid, this chassid, this fallen chassid, is walking over there. He leaves the Rebbe's office and he starts to head to the Bima. It's a good thing the Bima is in the middle of the shul, right? It's not right at the beginning. He heads to the Bima, and every step that he's taking is poison. He's dying mamash. The embarrassment and shame. And as he's halfway there, he's starting to think, what am I embarrassed? I'm so embarrassed in front of these people, my friends, my family. Who did I sin against? I sinned against the Borei Olam. He's thinking thoughts of holiness for the first time since he did that. True, real thoughts with a shovel, digging deep, Sachpiri, Sachpiri. And he's a foot away from the beam and his whole life is falling to pieces and he's about to get up there and to scream out to the whole Lublin what he did. And all of a sudden, he feels a hand on his shoulder. And he turns around and he sees the Chayza. And the Chayza rubs him on the cheek. And the Chayza is saying, Ginek. That's enough. Adkan. Don't go any further. Must speak. And he gave him a hug. And he said, that's it. Everything's finished. Everything is good. Slichas. You give me the Sarachan. Slicha, Mechila, Kapara. You know why? And this is the hard but happy ending. Because you know the din. A kli that became tamei, mamish not a minute, I'm sorry. A kli that became tamei, that became defiled, impure. The only way that you can remove the impurity of a kli cheres, right? How? Shattered and broken. Kli cheres shvirosan metaharosan. Or metahart, metahartan, probably if it's in the Gemara of the Dots. Kli cheres, an earthenware vessel, shvirosan. Only that feeling, a taste of that feeling of that chassid in Lublin, of Adam Rishon hiding, of Moshe Rabbeinu in the cave, is metahar the kli. Adam Yisoyda me offer. What's a kli vessel? What's an earthenware vessel? Adam Yisoyda me offer. The soifer la offer. Offer ani bechayak. Kavachoymim misosi. Hare ani lefanech ke kli mole busha. Rabbi Yisrael, we're standing here, we're going to say slichas in 2 minutes. Each and every one of us think, Hare ani lefanech, Rabbi Yisrael, ke kli mole busha. And busha hurts. Shame, embarrassment, guilt, it kills. But it breaks the hardness of that earthenware vessel that doesn't allow us to feel pain or embarrassment or shame. And because of that, we're not able to have your Shemayim. We're not able to change. We're not able to do tshuva. We're not able to enter into the world of Nachnas and Recheinu. We're not able to feel the hand of the Chayis of Lublin on our shoulder. And each of you want us to be able to look up after all these years and to see Hashem's smiling face. Al taste panachim imani. That Hashem should smile at each of you, one of us this year, and to feel His smile saying to us, Ginnik, Ginnik, it's enough already. The embarrassment and the shame of the Jewish people. That we're not the people we're supposed to be. The embarrassment and shame in each and every one of us. Ginnik. Loi say voishi, loi say call me. Ma te shteichichi, ma te hemi. The nivnasi ir al teel, it's time for this Hamikdash to be built. It's enough embarrassment. It's enough shame. It's time for the Rabbi Shalom's hand to be felt on our shoulders. And he says, Ginnik. The Rebbe Reb Zushi on Rosh Hashanah. The Rebbe Reb Zushi on Rosh Hashanah all of a sudden ran out before Tzki Yishai from his medrash. And he went out to the street, and in the middle of the street there was standing a Jewish boy like this, abandoned. He was almost naked. Everything was torn. Everything was showing from his clothing was ripped. He was so poor and he didn't have shoes. Skinny bones, mamish. And the Rebbe Reb Zushi went over to him and said to him, he asked him, what's your name? And the boy said, whatever his name is, Moshe, Moshe. Look over there, and the boy looks up and he sees there's a healthy non-Jewish boy, a healthy guy walking over there. So somebody, a choshev, a person's son in the town. And the Rebbe Reb Zushi asked this poor Jewish boy, aren't you mekane him? Aren't you jealous of him? Wouldn't you like to be in his place? And this poor Jewish boy said, Yehili, this is what it says in the Sefer. Yehili Asheli, I'm happy with what I have. Ani Yehudi Bar Hashem. If I eat, I'm a Jew. Umam and Hashem, and I believe in God. I'm happy with what I have. And the Rebbe Abdushya took those words and he said, I'll take care of you a little bit later. I have something to do. And the Rebbe Abdushya ran into shul and he went over there to the shofar and he started to scream out, Nu Rabban Shloilem, do you see that? A poor boy, barefoot, starving. He has nothing. And Afal Pichen, he takes upon himself, he accepts his life, and he's happy with his life, and he will never change it, even with the pirate's son, even with the nobleman's son, he would never switch his life, he would never give up his amunah. So who are we? So we're dressed in nice clothing. Rabban Shum, we're just standing here, we're gonna knock on your door. It's sliches. We're trying to come into the door. And we're like that boy in the middle of the town, who has nothing, empty of Torah mitzvahs. Nothing. Naked, barefoot, empty. But Rabban Shalom, you know that we would never, ever, ever give anything up. We would never give up you. We would never give you up. We would never exchange our lives for anything. Anything in the world we would never give up, only to be yours, to belong to you, to be yours, and to give us a chance to come back to you. We're ashamed, we're embarrassed, and we want to be better this year. And Nachmas said, Rechayim v'nachkayim, and the Baruch Hu, we beg you that this year you should put your hand upon our shoulders, and we should look at you and see that smile again. And with that smile, Baruch Hashem, you'll tell us, and your shrine will be built, and each and every one of us will be proud again, and each and every one of us will never ever have to hide and be embarrassed. We'll be able to be real. We'll be able to dig deep our feet deep into the ground of Eretz Yisrael to remain there, and our enemies will run from us, and the Jewish people will march back to the Harabais with the Gula Hashem V'Amitis from Heavy Amen V'Amen V'Amen.